Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. At hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We gonna see him soon. You feel me?
Woo! All right. Welcome to another episode of the Butting Heads Podcast, playoff edition, post-game edition from Rams Talk Radio. Proud part of the Blue Wire Podcast Network. I will probably be looking into the Blue Wire family of pods to listen to our Cardinals podcast tomorrow because I feel like that would be very entertaining. But I'm here with Johnny Gomez. Johnny, you know, we, after last week, a tough loss to the 49ers, we let them come to the party, and that might end up being rough in the long run. But we were feeling, you know, iffy about this team, but we came out of that podcast last week and basically said that we think the Cardinals stink and the Rams should win this game. And boy, were we right. They stink, and the Rams really brought it, a 34-11 victory over Arizona in this one.
Yeah, without a doubt. And, of course, right as we start the podcast,
That's the Cardinals team plane. They're going home.
Yeah. Planes flying overhead. People are beeping the horn. And I'm like, you know, it was quiet right before we started the podcast. But, you know, that's how it goes. But anyway, just the sheer dominance in this game is absurdly good. You know, I'm so... I don't even have words for it. Like, where was this team at multiple times during this season? And, you know, I won't say that it's just on the Rams being dominant, because really the Cardinals look awful. Like, they didn't look like they even belonged in the playoffs. Like, they were that bad.
Yeah. And
it's hard to really pinpoint why. You know, a lot of people will say, you know, DeAndre Hopkins wasn't there. But DeAndre Hopkins isn't the entire football team, you know? He's a big part of it, sure. But, I mean, even when he was healthy, he wasn't having the best season of his career. So, I really don't know how to pinpoint it. I don't know if it was a lack of preparation on Cliff Kingsbury's part. But they did not look ready to face the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, I don't know what really happened. I mean, we kind of whooped their ass the last time we played, but not to this level. And we were missing guys in that game, but we're also missing guys in this game. You know, we literally trotted out Eric Weddle's corpse onto the field, and the Cardinals could not do anything. It really, like... I mean, I give a lot of credit to the Rams defense in this game. You know, we've been harping, and I'm sure we'll get into it on the pod. I think both of us, but I know I certainly have been harping that if the Rams want to make a Super Bowl run, given the limitations of their defense and the guys playing behind the front four, that pass rush needs to be unstoppable and elite. And man, they fucking brought it tonight. And we could sit here and talk about how bad the Cardinals looked, but at the end of the day, man, that defense brought it and they carried us to victory. You know, the Cardinals went, what, like 5-3 and outs in a row?
Yeah, and that was the key.
Yeah, 4-3 and outs and then a pick six.
Yep. Yeah, and that was really the key, is the defense really kind of just brought it to Kyler Murray the entire game. He did not look comfortable in there. And, you know, kind of the biggest thing was them not being able to convert on third down at all. If I'm not mistaken, I believe they didn't convert a single third. No, actually, I take that back. They did convert a couple third downs towards the end of the game, but during the meaningful half of the games, they didn't convert any third downs.
No, in the first quarter or in the first half of this game, the Cardinals went 3 and out. The pick six. Then they started to put a little drive together, and then threw another interception. Then had another 3 and out, and then literally ran the ball into halftime because they were so unconfident in their offense. I mean, goddamn, man, this was so much fun. I actually wrote down a time during the game. 5 minutes and 15 seconds left in the third quarter, I realized I was just like sitting on Twitter, not even watching the game. That was the point I checked out. I cannot tell you how good it felt to check out of a playoff game in the middle of the third quarter because I was just so unconcerned with what the result was going to be.
Yeah, I mean, really, I think if the Rams really wanted to, you know, make this a complete thrashing, I'm pretty sure the offense could have went out there and scored more. But you could tell that they just wanted to kill time and not actually – you know, run the score up like other teams did. Even defensively, you know, towards the end of the game, they just kind of, you know, played soft coverage, didn't really, you know, cover that well. And it was just a matter of why, you know?
Right. Like once you take a 28-0 lead, you know, you're pretty confident. And I will say, like really the one big, Not even big. It wasn't that big. Like the real one ish like complaint I had about the team in this game was, for how shitty the Cardinals offense was playing in the first half, I felt like we kind of missed some opportunities to only walk away with 14 offensive points. We went into halftime 21-0 because of the pick six we had. But when they are just so lifeless and you're only able to walk away with 14 points, I was a little disappointed in that. And then the second half, they came out 8-play drive, 75 yards, touchdown. 7-play drive, 50 yards, field goal. 9-play drive, 61 yards, field goal. They did exactly what they fucking needed to do. They fixed their issues and they made the game completely out of reach. You know, it felt like it was a little within reach at halftime, but given how just awful the Cardinals offense looked, it didn't feel in reach. It simultaneously felt like a game that could swing the other direction at any moment and also a 100-0 blowout at halftime. But, I mean, Jesus Christ, man, this has got to be one of the most satisfying Rams wins I could remember in probably since the NFC Championship 3 years ago. Just to come into a playoff game and just completely own your opponent at every single level, especially when it is a division rival. This is just so sweet and so satisfying to me. Much more satisfying than beating Seattle in the playoffs last year, which was also satisfying, but this was great, man. This was what a night. What a fucking night.
Yeah, I mean, it's always nice to get that any playoff victory. But to get it against a divisional rival in such a commanding way and, you know, seeing not just, you know, your major stars step up, but seeing guys that we normally ridicule make some fantastic plays. Like, what more could you want in a playoff game if you're a Ram fan or even just a fan of football in general? Like, it was so amazing seeing these guys, you know, step up and, you know, become such a big factor in this game.
Within, I think this was three plays of each other. For longtime listeners of the podcast, I'm sure you were getting as much of a kick out of this as I was. But if there's any new listeners, we've been shitting on these guys on Twitter all year, and especially here on the pod. Johnny Hecker boots a nice 43-yard punt, gets down at the one by Ben Skoranek, followed up by Nick Scott just sending A.J. Green to the shadow realm on a hit, making a huge play. They called it a catch originally. He fumbled the ball. Sean McVay smartly challenged it, gets it overturned, sends the Cardinals back to the 4-yard line. And Troy Reader comes up with a pass rush. Kyler makes a terrible decision to get the ball out. David Long picks it up, runs it in for a touchdown. And then a couple plays later, Marquise Copeland gets an interception. And, I mean, he's so far off our radar that we don't even talk about him. Like, we're not even going to shit on this guy. Like, we rarely talk about the dude. He's even getting on the action. That was just that whole sequence, man. Everyone was having a blast on Twitter. I'm sure the people in attendance were absolutely having a blast during that sequence. That was when the game really, you know, after Kyler made that play, you were like, okay, this is not happening for Arizona tonight. There's no fucking way. Just all those guys, man. I mean, I don't remember. Did David Long come back into the game? I think he did right after he got hurt. Cause for him to go out in maybe the best game of his entire career would have been such a bummer. But man, dude, just that was unbelievable. So much crazy shit happened in this game. Nothing made any sense. You texted me after the Odell touchdown pass asking if we had our Debo and Odell. What a crazy night. And I'm glad it's the kind of crazy night that we're sitting here taking a victory lap over a playoff win.
For those of you still questioning if Odell was the problem in Cleveland, I think you have your answer now. He clearly was not. And, you know, it's kind of one of those things where some guys are just, you know, made for making big plays and big moments. And Odell continues to do that even at, you know, past his prime. You know, this is a guy that is notorious for making these, you know, unbelievable catches. And you know what? He had a fantastic game throughout the entire game. Even had a amazing throw. I mean, it wasn't that great of a throw, if I'm being honest.
Dude, that was a dime. I will defend that throw. That was a perfect floater, bro.
It was not a good throw. I disagree. It was a floater.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's not gonna throw a bullet, man. It was placed perfectly. If the guy wasn't open, it might have gotten picked, but he was open.
Yeah, I mean, if there was anybody within the vicinity, that thing's getting picked. Like, it was so long in the air. I was actually concerned that it was going to get picked because of how long it was in the air. But you know what? To his credit, though, I wouldn't have made that throw for sure.
He was the second-best quarterback in this game, you can make the case.
Yeah, I mean, you wouldn't be wrong. Because, Jesus, man, Kyler, this was not a Kyler Murray that we are accustomed to seeing. I mean, he always kind of struggles against the Rams because, for whatever reason, the Rams have become just these monsters against mobile quarterbacks this year. Really, the past 2 years. But, yeah, I mean, Kyler Murray just could not get focused. I think he was having nightmares of Aaron Donald, Leonard Floyd, Von Miller chasing him in his dreams. Even A'shaun Robinson to an extent as well.
Yeah, Kyler in this game, 19-34, 137 yards. These do not tell the full story. I think he had he barely had any yards in the first half. This all came in the second.
Yeah, two interceptions. Basically in garbage time.
Yeah. Yeah. Two interceptions, no touchdowns, sacked twice. To his credit, getting sacked twice is a miracle in this game, but he could have taken a sack and instead threw a pick six, so, like, that number feels a little low. The Rams pass rush, credit to them. I mean, when you trade for Von Miller and give up the capital they gave up, a second and third round pick, when you don't have picks to begin with, you need, like, he's been good this year for sure. He's been a great addition. I don't know if he has been worth, well, I guess, let me rephrase that. We've been saying that adding Von Miller, we wouldn't know if it was worth it until the playoffs. And I mean, if this is what we're going to get, clearly this pass rush was elevated by his presence there. He was a fucking monster tonight, as was Aaron Donald, as was the whole group. If this is what we're going to get, you know, I'm sure Tom Brady didn't like watching this game, man. And Kyler, to his non-credit, like, we were in his face the whole game and he did not adapt to anything and played horrible. But I mean, I give credit to the Rams defense in this one before I give blame to the Arizona offense. Like, they just, from the first play, they were ready to fucking roll. Shout out to Raheem Morris, who has been criticized a lot by a lot of people this year. I mean, he came in with a perfect game plan and executed it as good as you can. When you're out, you're starting two safeties. When you already have limitations at cornerback and at safety to an extent, the pass rush has to be the anchor point of this defense, and it was tonight, and they fucking ruled, man. This was awesome.
I'm not going to lie. I was one of those people that criticized Raheem Morris, especially recently. But I would say he redeemed himself. He kind of realized that in order to win this game, you couldn't have Kyler Murray throw the football or at least feel comfortable throwing the football, which he was not. You know, he could not get into a rhythm, and it's hard to get into a rhythm when you have, you know, these beasts of athletes, you know, chasing him down. It's just, you know, there's no way, no way. And not even just getting it down through the passing game, even on the ground, you know, you have two very talented running backs there, though. James Conner is banged up, and, you know, kudos to him because, geez, playing through, you know, some banged up ribs as a running back, yeah, that couldn't have been fun, especially with these guys. But you know, Chase Edmonds was pretty much a non-factor in this game, and I mean, really, they couldn't even, you know, run the ball with Chase Edmonds as often as they'd like to, because they were trailing for pretty much the entire game.
The whole offense, man, was non-factors. I mean, they looked so lifeless for almost every play in the first half. They put up 183 total yards in this game compared to 375 for the Rams, which is delightful. They averaged 3.4 yards a play. We averaged 6.6. They had 122 net passing yards. We had 235. They had 61 on the ground. We had 140. They had two turnovers. We had none. You know, it's crazy when you win the turnover battle, you win the game. We won the time to possession battle 35-24. I mean, like, when you look at the Cardinals box score, like, Edmonds 8-for-28, Connor 4-for-19 on the ground in the air. Christian Kirk had 6-for-51. Rondell Moore had 5-for-32. Zach Ertz had 3-for-21. And nobody did anything. AJ Green didn't catch a pass. And, you know, he's been victimizing us all season. So to shut him out is a big deal to me, at least.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Just an absolutely dominating, blanketing performance in that end of the ball. This Arizona offense hasn't been, you know, as good as it was earlier in the season, but we're talking about a team who scored 23 against the Rams earlier this year. They scored 30 in Seattle last week. They scored 25 in Dallas the week before that. It's not like they've been completely lifeless on offense. This is an impressive win. It really feels like the game we've been waiting for the Rams to have all season. Like, when you look at this team's resume going into the playoffs, they haven't lost. All their losses were to playoff teams. But most of their wins were against non-playoff teams. Their only wins against playoff teams were this Arizona team a couple weeks ago when we basically lit up their downfall. We were the tipping point. And to Tampa Bay in back in week three. Now you have to go all the way back to week three for that other playoff one besides Arizona. So it's this was great. This is the if we came out and, you know, beat them by three, we'd feel good. But to like this was really the only type of outcome I could have to go into Tampa Bay feeling confident. And I do feel confident. I did not expect to say that last week. But I certainly think that there is a very good chance the Rams can walk out of Tampa with a win next week.
Oh, it's definitely possible. It's just a matter of which Rams team shows up. If this Rams team shows up against Tampa Bay, absolutely. This is going to be a very possible win and possible thrashing if they continue to show up with the winning formula there. But, you know, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers is not a team to take lightly, especially with Tom Brady at the helm. I don't care how old this man gets. If he continues to be that leader of the offense, he's going to be someone that you want to pressure just as much as the Rams did against Arizona today with Kyler Murray. You know, one thing about Tom Brady, he doesn't like it when he gets pressured. And in fact, he almost throws fits when he does so. So, you know, make sure to continue to rush the passer as much as possible because, you know, it really makes up for the shortfalls the Rams have it in the secondary. Because, I mean, hey, the secondary looked absolutely elite out there. I mean, and you could say, yes, Jalen Ramsey is an elite cornerback. There's no doubt there. But beyond him, there's big question marks. So as long as we have this sort of, you know, covering there, you know, in terms of covering the downfall of the secondary, this is exactly the winning formula that the Rams need. Of course, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a much better offensive line than the Arizona Cardinals. So that's something to keep in mind as well.
They have better everything. They have a better quarterback, they have a better running back, they have better wide receivers, they have a better tight end, they have a better offensive line. They have better defense. They're a much better team. But, I mean, this is, you know, this is as good as we could feel going to that game. And, you know, we're not going to get too in-depth in Tampa Bay preview here. We're going to have those podcasts on the feed later in the week. But, luck, like, the only bright spot here about going into Tampa Bay and playing Tom fucking Brady in the playoffs is we have had this team's number the last 2 years. We got two wins in a row over them, whereas should we get by them a third time and go to the NFC Championship, we're going to be playing against one of two teams that have absolutely dominated us over the last 2 years. So that's not – we'll see. I mean, if we get by Tampa Bay, we'll cross that bridge when we come to it, we're all going to be fucking ecstatic if that happens. But let's keep talking about a little about this game. Offensive individual stats here. Before I get to the passers, we got to start. I think the story of the game for the Rams offense this week was Cam Akers back on the field. I know he played last week, but really making his presence felt in this game. 17 carries for 55 yards. Also had one catch for 40 yards, which was the pass from Odell. He almost had another 40-yard catch that him and Stafford just missed on. Stafford threw it a little behind him. Akers could have caught it, but it's the type of miscommunication that's going to happen when you're getting a guy back who literally hasn't been around all season with a new quarterback. There's no connection. It was encouraging, at least. And Akers, man, his numbers should have been better. He had a bunch of solid – a couple solid plays called back. So – with how good these stats are, he still left something on the table. He looked fucking unbelievable to be back from this injury. He looks like the best running back on the team, not even a disrespect to Sony Michel, who also played a pretty good game. But Akers, man, you forget like that how big of a part he's going to be of this offense. And to actually have him here as a big part in the playoffs months after an Achilles injury, it can't be understated how unbelievable and insane that is. And man, he looked great in this game. It was just so nice to see and so happy for him to get back so quickly and be able to contribute to this run.
Without a doubt. I mean, I was curious to see just how much Sean McVay was going to let Cam Akers play out there because I kind of get the approach last week against the 49ers. It was kind of a test drive, you know, to see just how healthy Cam Akers really was. I mean, obviously the medical professionals are going to give him the green light if they're 1,000% sure he's healthy, especially nowadays. But still, I mean, it's such a major injury. And to come back in such a short turnaround, at least for that injury anyway, it's remarkable. So they were confident enough in what they saw, even though there wasn't much to see against the 49ers. But you know what, man? I loved exactly what I saw. You know, obviously the lead back was still Sonny Michel, as it should be. I mean, he kind of earned that. But I liked how he was the 1B, you know, and that was something I was genuinely curious about because I feel like that's kind of been an issue for Sean McVay as a coach, is kind of, you know, divvying up the responsibilities at the running back position. It's really been an issue for him his entire career. So I feel like that it was the right approach in this game, and I kind of hope to see that against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know it's a little easier said than done because sometimes the flow of the game doesn't, like, lead you into that direction. It's not something that can always be done. But the fact that he was able to accomplish that in this game makes me feel a lot better heading into the next round.
Yeah, Sonny Michel, 13 carries for 58 yards in this game. If I had to bet, it felt like it was like an even split between the two. It didn't feel like one guy was out there more than the other. If it was, I actually feel like Akers was out there more. We'll know the snap count. We're recording this right after the game. Those snap counts will be out at some point. I don't know why I just lost my train of thought. Yeah, man, in McVay's defense on the 1A, 1B thing, nobody should have been getting touches except for one running back for the first 2 years he was here, barring the stretch of the legend C.J. Anderson. It really only became a thing that he had to deal with once Todd Gurley's knee became a thing that he had to deal with.
Pretty much.
But yeah, no, I do totally agree with you on all that. And to have Akers as just another tool in the toolbox here is crazy. It's crazy that that's a thing. Hey, Jake Funk, 2 carries for 5 yards. Also, Matthew Stafford, 6 carries for 22 yards. He had a couple nice runs in this game. I think the over-under on Stafford rushing yards or rushing attempts was like 0.5. Should have hammered that one. Stafford in this game, 13 to 17. Nuts that he only threw 17 passes in this game. For the run-the-ball crowd, big dub for you guys tonight. 18 passes, 38 rushes. He went 13 to 17, 202 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions, sacked once. 154.5 passer rating. There was one or two plays, like he could add Akers on that catch. One of the sacks he took, I remember he held the ball for a little too long, but like beyond, I guess it was the only sack he took, basically did exactly what you needed from him for the most part in this game. First playoff win for him in his career. Finally got that monkey off his back. He's got to feel great. He's got to be excited. And, like, I'm excited. I think no turnovers for him in this game, man. If he could keep that up, we could beat anybody.
I absolutely loved his decision-making in this game. Really, he didn't have too many flaws in this game. There may have been, like, one or two passes that I can recall that just weren't great passes, but they weren't like the shitty passes that we've been accustomed to seeing the past couple weeks. So, you know, if he's off by a little bit, it happens. You know, no quarterback is going to be 100%, you know, there's going to be an errant throw every now and then. But I can live with that. And, you know, it's more along the lines of making the better plays. In fact, there was probably more drop passes that were the fault of the receiving core than it was of anything of Stafford. So
yeah, Cup dropped a couple in this game, which is wild, but still had a great game.
I believe Higbee had a drop pass as well.
Yeah, he did.
So, obviously that's not something that we're accustomed to seeing from our receiving core, and obviously didn't have a huge impact on this game, but hopefully that kind of gets cleaned up a little bit. Hopefully it was just the playoff jitters. I don't care how experienced you are in a playoff game. I'm sure they still get, you know, the jitters, nervousness. It makes sense to me, at least.
Right. Yeah. It happens, man. We were able to overcome it. Life is good. Odell Beckham, one attempt, one completion, 40 yards. I believe when he threw that pass, he had 40 yards on the game, and Kyler Murray at the time had 28. I think Sosa put that out during the game. Receiving in this game, nobody jumps off the stat sheet. Cup 5 for 61 and a touchdown. Odell 4 for 54 and a touchdown. Both guys played great. Higbee had 3 catches for 46 yards on 4 targets. Van Jefferson popped in with 1 catch for 41 yards. It was a delightful deep ball from him. And we mentioned the Cam Akers, 1 catch for 40 yards. So, I mean, 2 catches over 40 yards. That's not bad. It's not bad. Just offensively, man, it was a great game. The offensive line played great. There was a couple penalties. But, I mean, beyond that, everyone, I feel like, stepped up. A lot of guys are making plays. Nobody, at least to my naked eye, seemed like they stunk it up out there. Note Boom got some burn and played well. Whitworth got banged up, but he came back out. I think he's going to be fine. I don't think he's missing time in these playoffs.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, it'll be nice too that speaking of like kind of the injuries, you know, we will probably get back Taylor Rapp, which I mean, it's hard to say if he was missed or not because really the secondary wasn't challenged too much. But you know, still I would feel more comfortable having Taylor Rapp out there and, you know, having Eric Weddle, you know, subbing in and out here and there, because as nice as it is to have his leadership out there, you know, dude hasn't played in 2 years.
Yeah. He's there for depth. It was weird to see a lot of people like criticizing the signing, like, and if you've listened to this pod for years, like, thank you. And I've never thought he was good since he got here. He was obviously good before he got here. But I didn't really think he was good at all the entire time he was here, and he hasn't played in 2 years. So he's probably not good now. But we don't have anybody. Like, who do you want them to fucking sign? You get a guy who's been with the team. I know he hasn't played in this system. He played for Wade. But he's a vet. He knows what he's doing. He could adapt quickly. You know, there's nobody else out there. Like, it's the playoffs. You can't even poach people off other teams' practice squads anymore. So you're going into this game with Terrell Burgess and Nick Scott. You're not going to get better than Eric Weddle off the garbage heap. Nope. And I don't have a take on his play tonight. I feel like he wasn't out there that much. But, like, what do you fucking want from him? We're getting wrapped back next week. He probably won't play because Nick Scott actually made some plays in this game. And I think Burgess has played well. I think he's the one I would personally start out of the two. But we'll see what they go. Burgess had 5 tackles in this game, 4 solo. He's probably the most reliable tackler in the secondary because those guys miss tackles all the time. Maybe Ramsey's more reliable, but he missed a tackle in this game.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Steve. Is it possible that we may be getting Ernest Jones back next week as well?
I don't know. I actually don't know. I don't think he was ruled out for the season. But I will say, we've been bashing Troy Reader deservingly for a while. Played really well in this game, and his strength, his best asset has always been pass rushing, but how much are you going to pass rush your inside linebacker? Today they did, and man, he made his presence felt.
Yeah, and, you know, not just Troy Reader, also, got to give it up to Trayvon Howard. You know, I mean, obviously you'd prefer to see Ernest Jones out there, but Trayvon Howard has actually stepped up the past couple weeks, and he made a few pretty good plays in this game as well.
Congrats to the longtime Trayvon Howard believers. I don't know what you guys are believing in, but maybe you weren't wrong. He did play well tonight. He had a big hit that I really liked out on the sideline. I don't remember when that was. I didn't see it in my notes. But yeah, man, they both played really well. As good of a performance as you could hope for from our guy who started the season as our 4-string linebacker and Troy Reader, who we all know his limitations. But shit, man, they had a great game. I have nothing bad to say about him in this game.
But yeah, I am hoping to get back Ernest Jones against the Bucks
for sure.
I mean, you know, the Bucks are you know, they're just an all-around talented team, and the Rams need someone to cover Gronk. Just saying.
I don't have a lot of faith in Ernest Jones covering him either, man.
Hey, you know what? I'll take him over Troy Reader or Trayvon Howard.
It was funny how, like, baffled Brian Griese was during this game that they weren't throwing the ball to Zach Ertz, which was the correct take. But, like, it was to the point where on one of those later drives, he's, like, pointing at Zach Ertz saying that's when he threw the ball, or that's where he should throw the ball, when the dude wasn't even open. Like, Burgess was, like, blanketing him. And he's like, yeah, if you throw it there, you might get the first down. It's like, you're right that they should be going to Zach Ertz more, but not a year. So it'll be interesting with Gronk next week, who is better than Zach Ertz and historically has destroyed us on multiple occasions. Nervous for that. Oh, sorry, I feel like I just screamed there. Nervous for that, but gotta adjust my volume here. We'll see. I mean, it's so many good performances on defense in this game. Can you, if you don't have the box score up, can you name who led the team in tackles?
That's a good question. I'll probably say Reader.
Reader only had 3. A'shaun Robinson led the way with 7.
Well, damn. I know he had a hell of a game, but I didn't know he had 7 tackles.
Yeah. Robinson had 7, 3 solo. You know, when, just to add to that, Von Miller had 6 all solo, 1 sack, 3 tackles for loss. Greg Gaines had 4. Leonard Floyd had 3. You know, when those guys are getting more tackles than your linebacking core, that means your run defense is just being fucking unstoppable in this game because they're not even getting past those guys. They're not even getting up to the linebackers. I'm sure they did once or twice, a couple carries, 10 or 11 yards. But that front four, they own this game. Those guys up front, and I mean, clearly Von Miller was the best guy on that unit today. I mentioned the 3 tackles for loss, 1 sack, 1 QB hit. it's just so good, man. And I didn't realize this was his first playoff game since the Super Bowl, which he won MVP. So, you know, he's fired up. If this is the Von Miller we're getting, we could put some wins together in the playoffs here. I will have absolutely no remorse over that trade. I mean, I already probably don't, given how he's played right now. Pray we can keep him in the offseason. Cross that bridge when we come to it. I just saw, I'm not sure if this number's perfect, but I think I saw we have $1.7 million in cap space, which is great. But I hope they keep him around, man. This was a big I'm here moment in game from Von Miller, who doesn't have anything to prove, but had a little bit to prove to us, I guess. Other guys in this game, we mentioned Terrell Burgess, he had five tackles. Darius Williams had five tackles, three solo. David Long had that interception. That was a great fucking play. I would say this is the best we saw from David Long. He made a nice play early on in the game to guarding, I don't remember if it was AJ Green or Christian Kirk down the sideline, being able to force him out of bounds and make a play. Man, if this is the defense we're getting in the playoffs, then I'm a believer. Call me a believer. This defense was lights out today.
I am a believer, man. I am a believer too, and I have to admit I had my doubts coming into the playoffs. But you know what? I think that the Rams are starting to piece together the type of team that they can be, and they're starting to figure it out, particularly on the defensive side of the ball. They aren't perfect. They have some flaws, and I think we all know them. But I think as long as they, you know, continue to play like they did today, I think they're gonna be a tough team to beat.
Yeah, for sure. You know, as long as Stafford isn't giving points away, now even if he throws a pick here and there, as long as he's not directly giving points to the other team, we should be a very difficult out for anyone in the league. I'm not saying we're the best team in the conference. I don't know if we can walk into Tampa or Lambeau for sure and win, even if he doesn't throw picks. I think we should be able to walk into Tampa. I do think on our best day, we're the better team than them, and especially given the injuries that they've had piling up. But this is an example, man. No turnovers, even though we weren't even perfect in that first half offensively. We went 3-and-out, three possessions in a row after we got up 14-0. Didn't matter. We're giving it away, and our defense played like this. I mean, we're not going to play like this every week, but it was great to get it once. This was fucking incredible. Special teams unit was great today, man. Ben Skoranek, we mentioned the down punt earlier. Johnny Hecker had a nice game. I'll give him credit. I hope he can put together a couple nice games here and help lift us to the Super Bowl. And I know we joke about Brandon Powell, but he genuinely, not only like the fact that he can actually return a punt, which is something we haven't had in years, he's getting, like, anytime he doesn't fair catch a punt, he's making solid returns. Like, he had two returns for 28 yards today, got 21 on one, 7 on the other. Guy's a fucking... Oh, that was kick returns. I'm sorry. He had two punt returns for 19 yards, 11 on one, 10 on the other. If you're getting 10 yards on punt returns when you field them, that's a huge asset. You're putting the ball 10 yards more than you would have expected with Cooper Kupp or whoever else the fuck is back there. And with those guys, sometimes it was even worse because they would not field the punt at all and it would bounce 20 yards behind them. In a year where we added Odell Beckham and Von Miller and they're crushing it, you could make the case that the Brandon Powell acquisition has been just as important as those two.
Without a doubt. I mean, it might come off as a little bit of a joke when I say things like he's the savior, but in a way I'm not joking. I mean, he's been the savior of the return specialist for sure. It's kind of nice seeing him out there as opposed to Cooper Kupp, who has no business being out there returning punts ever. You know, and like you said, man, every time he gets an opportunity, he makes the most of them. And I feel like he had a very good shot at returning another touchdown, but was tripped up at the last second. And that's unfortunate because I really do think he had a shot at getting to the end zone.
Yeah, he would have taken that a cut. He would have taken that a bit. I don't know if he would score, but he would have gotten at least another 10 yards.
Yeah, I was amazed, actually, and I was so sad that it got tripped up. But you know what? He still made a pretty good return on, you know, if you were to compare it to any of the other guys that we tried this season, may have just muffed the punt.
Right, or just ignored it. God, if he's not on the team next year, I'm going to be fucking furious.
Oh, he needs to be, like, we need to get him into a 7-year contract, man.
He's our most, we got Von Miller, Grace Williams, Sebastian Joseph Day, Sony Michel. This guy's priority number one. Get him back. Then worry about the other folks.
Probably about the only one we could afford.
Literally, man. They'll figure something out. I don't know how.
That's freaking Sneed. He'll figure something out.
Hopefully we don't have to talk about it for a month because we'll still be playing.
There is.
Other tidbits from this game. I mean, I heard them say, I didn't confirm anywhere, but they said David Long had the shortest pick six in NFL history, or maybe it was playoff history, which is hilarious. Shout out David Long getting the record books. Also, and I put this out on Twitter when it happened, but can we just talk about how the Rams have been able to successfully throw goal line fades to Odell Beckham? Because that is something that they have not had in like 15 years, like since Torrey Holt left the team. You know, it's the only real, like, you know, obviously Cooper Kupp is a red zone threat in a way. You know, he scores a shitload of touchdowns. He is now. The only real, like, touchdown hog we've had in the last 12-ish years was Sammy Watkins, and I don't think he was really – he was more of a big play guy, less of a, goal line fade, go up and get it type receiver. The fact that we could throw fades in single coverage in the goal line and they work. Okay, as full disclosure, my computer just had a meltdown and we had to let it sit here for 15 minutes to restart. It is 12:40 a.m. on the East Coast. I think it's 9:40, so I dismissed Johnny. But to finish my thought, it is really just, it's so nice to have a red zone threat. It's just been so long. And for all Odell's doing, you know, we mentioned what kind of an impact he's had overall on this team, and I really hope we can keep him. But I think that is the most felt, for me, part of his game that's happened. And, you know, clearly it's been noticed because he's scoring touchdowns, like, every week, and Stafford clearly trusts him. Anyways, since it's just me, we are going to wrap this bad boy up, but just, man, we did it. We won a playoff game this year. There were times where it didn't feel like we'd get here, but here we are, took care of business against the Cardinals. They're going to have a fun offseason, I'm sure, trying to wrap their heads around what the fuck happened to their team. Meanwhile, we are heading to Tampa Bay to take on Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Beating Tom Brady in the playoffs, we'll see. We'll see. I might be heading down there, so if anyone's heading down there, definitely hit me up for that game. But be sure to follow us on Twitter, at CRubero, at Johnny506, at TalkRams. Be sure to stay tuned to the podcast feed. I'm sure Derek and Mike are going to be back this week bringing you plenty of more recaps about this game and preview content. And, man, let's hope we can knock Tom Brady out of the playoffs next week.
More social awareness. That's to take a piss, don't take a shit in the porta potties. All right.